In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Page 12, Volume 4, December 8, 1902. My daughter, Louisa, today I want to keep you suspended without letting you suffer. And Louisa says, I began to fear and to lament that Jesus, and he added, do not fear. I shall be with you, whether when you, Louisa, occupy the state of victim, you are exposed to justice, in addition to the other sufferings. Many times you, Louisa, have to suffer my very privations and obscurity, in sum, everything that man deserves because of his sins. So here we're looking at Louisa, and we're seeing this great gift that she agreed to. And she received this gift through her sufferings. I want to keep you suspended without letting you suffer. Basically, when Louisa suffered, justice was not given to the world. Punishment was not given to the world. And she fears that Jesus is going to abandon her in her life of suffering. She's a victim soul. And she's also fearing that mankind is going to be punished, because she has been taking on the punishment of mankind, the justice of God. So he says, when you occupy your state of victim, you are exposed to justice. Okay? Justice comes to you, Louisa. You take on justice. You are being transformed by justice. And he says, in addition to other sufferings, many times you have to suffer my very privation. Okay, so Jesus says sometimes that, you know, I will not appear to you, or you will not be with me, you know, physically, so that you can long for me, because he says, no one else in the world longs for me. No one desires me. No one wants me. He says to Louisa, you are the one that does this. So by me not coming to you, presenting myself to you as I normally do, your longing for me takes the place of everyone. And this is what Louisa has done in our place. And Louisa has taken upon herself the divine justice that God would give out to us because of our sins. He says very clearly, in sum, everything that man deserves because of his sins, you are going through, Louisa. So here, you know, we're ending this year of Jubilee Year of Mercy, and we're going to enter into the time of justice, but it says in Scripture, Jesus will come with his justice. And that says very clearly, the one who has taken the place of us was Jesus on the cross, Mary at the foot of the cross for redemption. And now for these last 2,000 years, as St. Paul says, you know, we take on the sufferings of Christ. Here, Louisa has taken on our sufferings. So justice over the course of her life transformed Louisa. And Jesus comes to us with justice, with basically Jesus and Mary come to us with Louisa. This is something that the church will explain in detail later on. But it says very clearly, but I, Jesus, suspend your office of victim, and everything I show you towards you shall be mercy and love. And this is what the justice that she took upon herself became for her. Mercy and love. And all of us should pray for mercy and love. This is one of the things that unfortunately many people want to be holy, want to be good, and they say to Jesus, give me suffering. And it might not be what Jesus wants, but Jesus says, if you want it, I give it to you. You know, sure. We should always pray for Jesus' mercy and his love. You will receive suffering. We all suffer physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. But Jesus is asking us to pray for mercy and love. Why? Because Louisa took upon herself the punishment that was due to mankind. And now that Louisa's in heaven and she can't do this, Jesus is saying, now justice is going to come to the earth. And this justice of God, when you surrender to the justice of God, you will also receive mercy and love. You don't flee from the justice of God. You don't fight the justice of God. You fall on your knees and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, show me your mercy and your love. This is what Jesus is asking of Louisa, showing Louisa, and now he's asking us to do the same. Volume 4, December 15th, 1902. My daughter Louisa, don't you comprehend the meaning of my heaviness? You must know that it is the enormous weight of divine justice that I, Jesus, can bear no more, nor can you hold. Man is about to be crushed by the weight of divine justice. So those that are opposed to God are going to receive this divine weight of God, crushed by the divine justice of God. This is the sin that they want. Why do we go to confession? We go to confession because of the sin that we have fallen into, that we have wanted. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Those that don't go to confession and have their sins absolved by the priest, what they have to do is they have to endure divine justice, the divine justice of God. And our God is asking us, pleading with us, to turn to him in this year of mercy, pleading for mercy and love for everyone, past, present, and future, so that, as Jesus says, man is about to be crushed by divine justice, that maybe in the last moment they can say to Jesus, you know, fiat. Maybe in the last moment, with our prayer, they can say, Lord, have mercy on me. And this is for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. This is for every person that has ever lived, past, present, and future. The Lord has placed that in our hands through the divine will, saying to pray in the name of everyone and everything. So he says, Louisa says, you have to understand this heaviness, this enormous weight, the enormous weight of divine justice that's going to crush humanity. We are calling for sin to come. I want to live in sin. I want to live in rebellion. I want to live in opposition to Christ and his church. God says, then you're going to receive this. You're calling upon this divine justice to come. So our job is to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that the Lord have mercy and love upon his people, because it's very close. As he said to St. Faustina, first there will be divine mercy given to the world, and then divine justice. Page 13, volume 4, December 13th, 1902. Lord Jesus, if I cannot sustain the weight of your justice by myself, there are so many good souls among whom it can be divided a little bit each, so that it might be easier to bear the weight, and so that the people might be spared. She's praying for us, that we might be spared. And Jesus says, and you, my daughter Louisa, don't you know that so much of my justice may unload upon the weight of someone else's chastisement upon some soul? The soul must be in possession of a permanent union with me, the triune God, in such a way that everything that the soul does, everything that the soul suffers, everything that the soul intercedes for and obtains is given to her by the virtue of the union with me, Jesus, in the triune God, established within the soul as the soul does nothing but lay down her human will, unifying it with mine. So he says, nobody's going to be able to endure this chastisement. He says, the only one is the soul who must be in possession of permanent union with me, permanent union with the triune God. Because everything that the soul does suffers will obtain the virtue of being united with me, established within the soul, nothing, so that the soul will lay down her human will, unifying it, the human will, with God. This is why we offer our human will to the throne of God every day at Holy Mass. The six steps that Our Lady taught Louisa and the Virgin Mary and the King, the first 6 days, are important to pray after every Holy Communion. The one is to lay down our soul, never ever to lay down our, excuse me, our human will, never ever to receive it again, uniting it with Jesus' most holy divine will. So he says, nobody can do this, Louisa, unless they're living in the divine will. And he says, nor could my divine justice do this without first giving the soul the necessary graces to be able to suffer for the sake of someone else. So Louisa has received the necessary graces to suffer for us. This is why we will see, as Father Bucci says, Louisa is the Louisa La Santa. When she was alive, she was called Louisa the Saint. The Church will show that Louisa is the saint of the Church. Louisa has been given the necessary graces to be able to suffer for us, for someone else besides herself. And the chastisement will come upon her. Why? Because she's united with Jesus and Mary. This is a mystery that we will all enter into as we get to know Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that has the necessary grace in order to be able to suffer for someone else? All of us, really. Who is Louisa that is so one with Jesus that she can endure the chastisement that will befall all mankind? Jesus says, this is too much for me. And he says, it's too much for you, Louisa. And she says, can't you find somebody else? And he says, no, only the soul and the divine will. So by us being linked to Louisa, we will go through sufferings, not like Louisa, not like Jesus or Mary. It's just our sufferings are very minor. But what will happen is, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, that God will use our sufferings to hasten to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings that we're going through. And this is why it's so necessary that we give our fiat to all things. One of the things Jesus shows us very clearly is that it's enough of complaining, you know, enough of being negative. We have to begin to live the life of heaven, of peace, joy, and happiness. And no matter what we have to endure, it's always fiat. Always fiat. And this is the thing that Louisa always did. And this is why being linked to Louisa is so essential for us, especially in these times. Volume 4, December 18th, 1902. Beloved Louisa, do you want to see the evil that occurred during those days in which I kept you suspended from the state of suffering? At that moment, I don't know how, but I, Louisa, saw divine justice, and I could see it as full of light, full of grace, full of chastisements, full of darkness, and as many days as I had been suspended from suffering, so many were the streams of darkness that descended upon the earth. This is sin. Jesus says, you want sin? You want to live in sin? Here's sin. You have it. And this darkness came upon earth. And this gives us a clue about the 3 days of darkness. God is going to say to the devil, it's yours. The earth is yours. Take what's yours and leave. My kingdom is coming. And this is something that for us to understand, it is very, very necessary that we link ourselves to Louisa so that we can see justice. full of light, full of grace, full of chastisements, and full of darkness. The streams of darkness is what mankind is calling upon themselves. This is what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, they called fire from heaven. Because if you read Our Lady of Akita, it's exactly what's going to happen. People want to live in sin, and God says, then you're going to have it. He said that to the devil. You want hell? Then that's yours. You want to live without God? Then you can have that. That's hell. So Jesus is saying to us, go to Louisa and listen to what Jesus has taught Louisa. So Jesus says this, those that want to do evil, those that want to speak evil, and even more have become even more blind and acquired the strength to carry it out, turning against the church, turning against sacred people. You can see this happening, you know, in right now. It's happening in Syria, Iran, excuse me, Iraq, the beheadings in Africa. These are sacred people that evil is attacking. And it's only just begun. We haven't seen anything yet in Europe. I was surprised, and Jesus told me, you, Louisa, though it was nothing so much so that you would not be bothered, you would not bother about it, but it was not so. Have you not seen how much evil came about, how much strength the enemy acquires to the point of managing to do what they had not been able to do during the time in which I, Jesus, had continually kept you in this state of suffering, of victimhood? So they have gotten to the point where they have obtained this power. They have obtained this strength to attack the church, to go and kill God's sacred people. We have to understand that, you know, this was 1902. And where we are today, basically, all hell is just about to be opened. We read that earlier, that the cracks of the earth, the demons will come out. Jesus says, I am going to release them, and the demons are going to know that I release them. Why would Jesus do that? Because this is what people want. Look at your families. Look at your friends. Look at your neighbors. Look at your coworkers. Look at your parishioners. I mean, it's very obvious they do not want to live Catholic lives. And even those that are Catholic say, well, I can do this. It doesn't really matter. I can do that. It really doesn't matter. And what's happened is people have become gods. We're gods. We don't have to follow any rules. We don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. We don't have to follow the dogma and doctrine of our church. We can do what we want. I am Lord of my body. I can do what I want. And you can see this happening with people tattooing themselves and branding themselves and piercing themselves and carving themselves on their own bodies. Why? This is what pagans do. They don't belong to Jesus. Jesus says, your body doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to me. I suffered. I shed every drop of blood. I purchased you. I purchased your soul. And people are fighting God. And he says to Louisa, because of your victimhood, because of you suffering, this was the evil was kept away from the earth. But when I take you out of this, when I take you away from your suffering, he says, look at the power that the evil one has received. We have to understand that everything in life is spiritual. Everything. I don't care what it is. You turn on the television and there's spirituality that is there. And most of it is not good. Psalm 100 says, do not let the murderer, the thief, the fornicator, into your house. This is what we see on television. We let that spirit enter our house every single day. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton said that there will be a black tabernacle in everybody's house that they will worship. Where do people go? They go to their television. And now, with iPhones, they have their television with them constantly. Even while they're driving, they're watching. It's allowing these spirits to enter into you. It's the spirit of fornication. It's the spirit of lying. I mean, the great, we mentioned this once before, the movie The Titanic won every award that could possibly be given. And yet, in that movie, every commandment was broken. And everybody cheered this movie where the majority of people died. I mean, what does this say? It says very clearly, the kingdom is very, very far for most people. And God is going to give everybody what they want. The Titanic is basically where we are today. We're on a boat that's sinking, and everybody's continuing to sin. And the large majority of humanity will be gone, Jesus says. And we haven't learned anything. We honor the actors and we honor those who produce the movie, and we award them treasures. Why? Because we still do not understand that everything is spiritual. In school, everything is spiritual. It's a spiritual attack against the children. Television is a spiritual attack against everyone. And either we begin to live the Catholic life, which means to avoid that tabernacle. In Opus Amputorum Angelorum, they call the television the hypnotic eye of death. People have wasted hours and hours and hours sitting in front of the television, just motionless. No real truth, no real life, no real goodness comes from that. Yet Jesus is saying to us, I want you to be free of this. I want to give you abundant life. And this is why he says, in the worst of times, he's given us this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. And as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, our eyes are opened when we get close to Louisa, when we link ourselves to Louisa, so we begin to see the time that we're living in. How many wasted hours, they said, the children playing the games. And this was, I think, 4 years ago, before really everybody had an iPhone. They said it was, 6 million hours were wasted by people playing games on the internet. 6 million. This is just with the teenagers. See, our job is to repair and redo. Lord Jesus, for all those wasted hours, I am sorry. I want to repair. And for all those wasted hours, let every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word, every deed be to adore you and to love you and to praise you and to thank you and to bless you and to worship you and glorify you as Lord and Master and King and Savior. I want to repair all that is going on. This is what Jesus is looking for. He's saying, would you live my life where I adored the Father? I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I loved my Mother Mary. Would you enter into this life with me? And we say, how, Lord? And he says, go to Louisa. Go to Louisa la Santa. Louisa the Saint. Go to her. And she will show you. Because I, Jesus, this is what he says, have taught her the truths that will give you this abundant life. If you wish. If you want. Volume 4, December 24th, 1902. Continuing in my usual state, I, Louisa, found myself outside of myself. I found myself with our Lord, who had a cross near him, and all was braided with thorns. And Jesus took it and placed it upon my shoulders, commanding me to carry this cross into the midst of the multitude of people, to give proof of Jesus' mercy to the people, and to placate divine justice. So basically, Jesus says to Louisa, this cross braided with thorns. I mean, it's not a piece of wood. You know, you have three parts of a braid, and it's all thorns. And he places it on her shoulder. Now, Jesus says to some of the mystics, the greatest suffering that he had was the wound to his shoulder carrying the cross. Carrying that cross from the praetorium to Golgotha, it tore the skin right off his shoulder, right down to the bone. And Jesus says this was his greatest suffering. And who does he give this to? He gives this to Louisa. And then he commands her. This is Louisa's job. To carry this braided cross that's cut into her shoulder into the midst of a multitude of people. Why? To give proof of Jesus' mercy. I mean, this little one is carrying Jesus' cross, and he says, this is my mercy. To placate divine justice. It gives us a clue of the time we're going to enter into. We're going to see the mercy of God and the justice of God through Louisa. We have to understand, this is not just something that Jesus says you're going to do and forget about it. It's for the world to see. The world is going to see the proof of Jesus' justice through Louisa. The world is going to see divine justice placated by whom? By Louisa carrying this braided cross. Louisa says, it was so heavy that I carried it, bent over, and almost dragging myself. See, she's obedient. Listen, whatever you want, Jesus, I want. Let's look at our own life. The little things that we have to go through. What are we always doing? We're complaining, negative. Jesus says to Louisa, basta, enough. Enough of your complaining. Carry this for me, Jesus says, to help the people. I want the people to see my mercy through you, Louisa. This is your job. And now let's look at our own job. What are we called to do? We're called to live in heaven. We're called to live the peace of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the joy of Jesus. He says, I give you my joy so that your joy may be complete. This is what the Lord is asking of us. And he says very clearly, are you carrying your cross? It's not braided with thorns. Not what I did with Louisa. It's to live in the divine will. The consequences of living in the divine will are peace, joy, and happiness. Do you show this to everybody around you? Or are you still complaining? Oh, pity, pity me. Pity, pity me. Look what they're saying about me. Look what they're doing about me. Baloney. It's to look at Jesus. It's to look at Mary, the two who suffered the most. And now we're getting a glimpse of the third one who suffered, Louisa. Could you carry a cross braided with thorns? Can you obey Jesus? No, I don't think so. So he didn't give it to you. But he gave you little crosses. Not to hurt you, but really to destroy your ego and your human will so that the divine will can reign. Pity me, pity, pity me. When I hear people complain, that's exactly what I'm looking at. That's exactly what I'm hearing. Poor me, poor me. Who are you? Look at Jesus. Look at Mary. Now look at Louisa. While I, Louisa, was carrying this cross, this braided cross, Jesus disappeared. And I reached a certain place, and the one who was guiding me told me, leave the cross and remove your clothes, for our Lord is coming back, and he must find you ready for the crucifixion. This is where we're all going. We're all going up to Calvary. That's the one of the things that, I've got to ring on that one. We're all going up to Calvary. This is what Jesus has planned. He wants us to begin to embrace our crucifixion. What does that mean? It's to say to get rid of everything that's in offense to God. Well, the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. Everything has to be crucified. Everything has to be gone. Why? This is the way, the saints have told us, to heaven. is to Calvary. Now, either we believe this or we're going to run away from it. And if we run away from it, we heard before, you're going to experience the justice of God. Each and every one of us has to be perfected. And this is the life that God has given us to work on. That means we have to focus, continuously focus on becoming perfect. Jesus says that, be perfected as my Heavenly Father is perfect. This is what we have to work on. We begin in the morning with our prevenient act and then our actual acts throughout the day. We are faced with trials. We're faced with sufferings. We're faced with our ego and our will. And either we say no to that with a firm purpose of amendment, no, I am not going to do this, or we surrender to it and continue to live our miserable human lives. But if we listen to what Jesus is teaching to Louisa, we let go of that in order to embrace the divine life of Jesus, to embrace the divine life of Mary. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. He must find us ready as well for the crucifixion. You have to remember, when we meditate on Christ crucified, what do we see? We see the glory of God. We see the love of God. That's Christ crucified. If we're not meditating on Christ crucified, the crucifixion for us will run away from it. We'll be terrified of it. I don't want that to happen to me. My goodness, don't let that happen. But if we're meditating on Christ crucified, we say, if God wanted this for his son, and God is asking me to be crucified, so be it. You have to be ready. So what is carrying your cross? It's to give your fiat in all situations. Being peaceful, full of peace, joyful, full of joy and happy. It's to say to your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners, I trust in Jesus. And no matter what I have to go through, he is my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my God, my all. That's what Jesus is looking for. And so, are you ready for the crucifixion? We are all going to have to go through that sooner or later. I mean, that's why we pray for a happy death. We pray to St. Joseph for a happy death. Because all of us are going to have to be at that point of crucifixion, sooner or later. And if you can say it now, Lord, prepare me for that time. Good. My mother said that to me. She said, there will be a time when you will not be able to pray. She says, you have to pray now. And it's so true, because you won't have the words, you might not have the capacity to say to Jesus, let it be done to me as you say. So we pray now for a happy death. We pray now to be ready to be crucified. And you're thinking of that, remove your clothes, be stripped. What does that mean? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Get ready. See, that's what we have to get away from. So if we are a complainer, stop it. If we are afraid, stop it. Jesus is asking us to, if we really believe what he said to Louisa, be linked to Louisa so that I can have my way. Volume 4, December 31st, 1902. Poor daughter Louisa, is this very hard for you? You have encountered my same lot. I, Jesus, was always who I was, one with the sacrosanct Trinity, and the Trinity loved one another with eternal, indissoluble love, yet as victim, covered with all the iniquities of men, my exterior was abominable before the divinity, so much so that divine justice spared no part of me. rendering itself inexorable to the point of abandoning me. Listen to what Jesus says. Louisa, you're in my same lot. The divine justice has spared no part of me or you. Here, Jesus has given to Louisa what he went through. The divine justice spared no part of Louisa, no part of Jesus, no part of Mary. To the point of abandoning Jesus, abandoning Louisa, abandoning Mary. Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. You, Louisa, are always who you are with me, but since you occupy the state of victim, your exterior appears before the divine justice as covered with the sins of others. We see why Jesus put her in bed for 64 years. You see why Jesus didn't allow her to eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. He says, you, Louisa, have to go through the sufferings of all mankind. You are covered with the sins of others. Therefore, it's not going to be 33 years of suffering as Jesus did, but 64 years, because you're human. This is why Jesus said, I spoke those words to you. However, calm yourself, because I love you always. This is the promise of Jesus to Louisa. Louisa, Jesus says, your exterior appears before divine justice is covered with the sins of others, and therefore it has to go through what Jesus went through, even to the point of abandoning Louisa. And if you look at the last 9 years of her life, that's exactly what happened. When the nuns threw her out of the convent on October 7th, 1938, and 9 years later, she dies, completely abandoned. Louisa is a mystery, and when you study this mystery of Louisa, you begin to see how much she is one with Jesus. Think of Louisa as covered with the sins of others, our sins. She's covered with our sins, as Jesus was covered with our sins. He says, don't be afraid, calm yourself. And it's the same thing for us. We have to calm ourselves. Why? Because Jesus says, I always love you. I love you always. You, Louisa, and your little children link with you, Louisa. We have to begin to see everything as spiritual. When we see everything as spiritual, then the Lord brings us to this awareness of this mystery of Louisa. How glorious is this, that our God is allowing us to know this little newborn, Louisa Picaretta. Volume 5, April 7th, 1903. My daughter Louisa, the socialists have plotted among themselves to strike the church. This they have done publicly in France and in Italy in a more hidden way, and my justice is looking for voids so as to lay hands the chastisements. Okay, so the church has been attacked and destroyed in France. I remember being in France back in the 70s, and there was no priests. They were all in their 90s. It looked like 80s or 90s. All the priests were gone. And he says it's the same thing in Italy. Now, throughout the world, there are more mosques in Germany than churches. There are more mosques in London, it seems like, than churches. It's this is a chastisement. And if you think that what's happening in the world is just by chance, I don't think so. Because of contraception, because of abortion, artificial means of birth control and abortion, there are no children in Germany. So the chancellor says, come, one, come all, come to Germany, come to France, come to England to work because we have nobody to work in our factories. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It says one of the mystics in France said, when you see the non-believers come into France like ants, you know, you must know that the time is near. And that's where we are, even in the United States. The land of the home of the brave, the home of the brave, the land of the free, home of the brave. We are really in a time that's it's going to be very painful. And this is part of the chastisement. We're not even talking about the cosmic chastisements that are coming. It's not only the bank that's going to collapse, the banking industry. It's not only the factories and, you know, wars and cosmic events are going to come. And Jesus even says he's going to allow the ground to crack open and the demons to come out. Jesus says that. So we haven't seen anything yet. Why? Well, we're still in the time of mercy that ends on the feast of Christ the King. Then the time of justice begins. And we're going to, as we read, continue to read, we're going to see things that are going to astonish us. Volume 5, April 21st, 1903. I, Louisa, saw the sun in the vault of the heavens that was different from the sun we see, and behind it a multitude of saints who, in seeing the state of the world, its corruption, and how they make fun of God, all in one voice, the saints cried out, revenge on your honor, revenge on your glory, make use of divine justice, for man no longer wants to recognize the rights of his Creator, the rights of his God. But they were speaking in Latin. Only I, Louisa, could comprehend that this was the meaning. On hearing this, I trembled. I felt my blood run cold, and I implored pity. I implored mercy. 1903, over 100 years ago, the saints crying out, revenge on your honor, on your glory. Make use of divine justice, for man no longer wants to recognize the rights of his God. That's where we are today. It has to happen. Are we ready to face divine justice? Volume 5, May 8th, 1903. My daughter Louisa, when man disposes himself to good, he receives good. And if he disposes himself to evil, he receives evil. That's what's coming. We want evil. That's what mankind is saying. Look at the TV. Look at the radio. Look at the newspaper. Look at the magazines. Look at the movies. Look at the music. When he disposes himself to evil, he receives evil. All these voices you hear reach my throne, not once, but repeated times. And when my justice sees that man not only wants evil, but he asks for it with repeated petitions, with divine justice, it is forced to concede it, to make them know the evil they wanted. In fact, one can truly know evil only when he finds himself in it. This is the reason why my divine justice keeps looking for voids in order to punish man. However, the time of yours, Louisa's suspension has not yet come. Basically, the time of you coming to heaven has not yet happened. At the most, a few days for now, so that justice may press its hand down on man a little bit, for it can no longer bear the weight of such enormities. And at the same time, so as to make man's forehead raise too high, lower down. So he says, the time for you to come to heaven hasn't happened yet. But when it does, he says, I'm going to make man's forehead basically push to the ground. I'm going to make sure you don't think that you're God anymore. And if you want sin, you want evil, then it's going to be, so be it. That's the 3 days of darkness. You have to understand, this is the worst of times. Our Lady said this in some of her apparitions. We're living 1,000 times worse than the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. 1,000 times worse than the days of Noah. The cosmic events that are going to happen are going to shake mankind to its core. And Jesus is asking us, go to Louisa. Jesus is asking us, to begin to live this abundant life that He, the Lord God Almighty, has given to Louisa, and get ready for divine justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.